out. I was learning a little chumash yesterday, and I noticed an idea that I was said today, that we discussed yesterday, about achar shilucheha. I try to make this whole drush, this drusha, this whole about the major contribution of Yisrael, more so than establishing a network of judges, was the fact that he told Moshe how critical it is that he, the leader of the Jewish people, be married. He cannot lead the Jewish people, Lahavdil Elif Alfi Avdolos, like the Pope. Celibacy. Is that how you pronounce it? Celibacy? This is not
celibacy.
What?
Celibacy.
Thank you. Celibacy. Sorry about that. Celibacy. This is unacceptable. So now I was learning Chumash, I noticed that there's a consistent theme going on in every step of the way. Yisrael, when he says to Yisrael, look at it on this page. Look, he says it's much. It's at the end of the parsha. He says to Moshe, "Loi toiv hadavar asher ato oseh." He begins by giving Moshe Musa. The first words that come out of his mouth are, "Loi toiv." What are those words? Where else are those words used? The only other place in the Torah where those words are used, Hashem said those words, "Loi toiv heyos adam levadai." Exactly those two words, loy toif. Someone says we have to look at the sukkah in detail. I don't have a whole chumash in front of me on the screen, but when Yisrael complains to Moshe, the first thing he says is loy toif, and then it says that Moshe he did kol asher diber, and then it goes on to say there are a couple other redundant expressions, and one more critical expression is they went le'echol lechem. What does it mean lechem? Yosef said to Ashes Potiphar, he said that your master has put in my control everything except for the lechem ashahu oichel. And Rashi there says, what does it mean? It means, except for you, you're his wife. You are everything, I can do anything in this household except for the lechem. And here in the parsha of Yisrael, it says that he went le'echol lechem lifnehu elokim. So there are three blatant expressions that clearly relate to matters of marriage. Achar shilucheha, okay, he sent her away. He says to Moshe loy toiv, which is what Hashem said about Adam, about the creation of Chava. Lo toiv heyos Adam levadoi. And number three is they went le'echol lechem lefmei. What is all this necessary? Each one of these things is bizarre in and of itself. They went le'echol lechem. Come on, we need to know they ate bread. What's that all about? It's coming to be merames on the primary contribution that Yisrael made to Klal Yisrael, is that the head of the Jewish people must be married, cannot practice this principle that we find by the non-Jews, that the priest, the high priest, the Pope, he separates himself from Noshim. This is not a good example for Klal Yisrael, and it's not good for the leader, it's not good for anybody. Okay, so I think we're on to something. We spent yesterday all this time on the word Shilucheha, and focusing on the Targum, Dishalcha. And then we learned over here that there's another gears that says that he gave her a get piturin, dipatra, that he divorced her. There's a lot more that meets the eye, which the whole thing was only really brought out. The only way we came to this realization, this whole sequence of events, this whole the depth of what's really going on over here is only because of one word in the Targum. How he translates Shiluchecha means, it means a get piturin in the other girsa, and that led us down a whole wild goose chase over here to discover what's going on over here. Okay, let's go further. Now the pasuk gimel v'yeshnei v'necha asher. Now we mention his two sons v'yeshnei v'necha and her two sons. By the way, why this is very bizarre? Why are they called her sons? Why are they not called his sons? V'yeshnei v'necha, her sons.
She raised them. She was the one that were left with her after Moshe went back.
Excellent.
To Mitzrayim.
Excellent. That's exactly what I wanted to say. You see over here, you see there's a principle. This is the opposite of a very popular principle in Chazal. Chazal say that kol hamigadel Yosaim Besech Besai Ki'ilu Yoldoi. Anyone who raises a child, a Yosaim, in his home, it's as if you have given birth to them. But there's a dark side to that, an opposite, converse. A person who maybe physically, biologically, is the father of a child, if you choose not to raise them, then they're not your child. If you abandon your children and you have nothing to do with them, they're not messiaches after you. Just like you can become a father for children that are not your biological seed, they're not yours, call them a gadol yosem sabeskili yodoi, same thing. A person who does have biological children and abandons them, he's not their father. And here you see exactly that. You see over here, very important, the ace, as Mr. Rapport said, the ace shnei vonel. What do you mean her sons? They're not Moshe's sons? Well, obviously, according to the way we learned, he sent her away with the children. We learned yesterday, Rashi, with her children. That's right. She raised them in this critical time of their life. They did not know their father. They were estranged from their father, and that therefore that takes away Moshe from being to them the father that he should have been. Okay, we once had a discussion about this, about the children of Yaakov. We once had this is a very frightening thing to say. I told you this strange thing. How could it possibly be that the children of Yaakov, they go to their father and they take a garment, they dip it in blood, and they say, Hakerna, Hakesoines bini. I forgot the words of the pasuk. Recognize this garment. Is this the kesoines pasim that you gave to Yosef?
Is it hakesoines bincha?
Hakesoines bincha hiim lo.
Your son is like they weren't even his brothers.
But first of all, how is there anyone today, no matter how cruel they are, would do that to their father? Would go to their father and say, Dad, look what we found.
That's why the Abarbanel says that it wasn't the brothers who brought back the Begin. They sent Shluchim to do it because it would look too bad if they did it themselves. So they sent other people with the Begin.
Okay. That's a chiddush. That's not the Pasuk Shal in the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk Shal in the Pasuk, right, says simply.
Yeah.
But the question is better than any answer you can possibly give. It's not fathomable that any human being would go to their father and do something like this. To take a garment, dip it in blood, and go to their father and say, look what we found. It's not possible. How could this be? And especially the Shiftei Ka. So I told you a chiddush. I saw this somewhere. It's a shocking thing to say, but it ties into what we just learned over here. It's really a shocking thing if you can even say such a thing is true. Yaakov Avinu didn't really raise his children. Yaakov Avinu said himself, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Yaakov knows the psukim inside out. When Lavan chased after Yaakov, Yaakov said to Lavan, what do you want from me? What did I not do for you, my father-in-law? I worked for you for 20 years. It was 14 years, it was 6 years. During those 14 years, I was frostbitten, I got a sunstroke, I worked in literally day and night. Now wait a minute, during those 14 years, or at least during the last 7 years, Yaakov had children.
Yeah, it
says there's Shrib Shonabi Vesef, Abadatinka. 20 years, because you want to count right. Okay, so therefore it was 20 years because even those last 6 years where he was working for himself, but still he was still a worker for Lavan. And Yaakov Avinu says explicitly, during those 20 years, I literally was working for you 24/7. He says, I was in the field day and night, guarding your sheep. Now, we got a problem here. If Yaakov Avinu is literally guarding the sheep day and night, 24/7, when did he have time to do with them homework, to go to Avos Subanim, to take them to great adventures, to take them during yeshiva week, skiing? I have a charvusa I learn with. I learn with the Baruch Hashem every day. We learn in the afternoon. And he's a very busy person. He's a doctor. He's very, very busy. But he takes off time to learn every day. And this week, These last 2 days, gone. I can't believe it. He never, ever, ever misses a day, no matter what. Where is he? Where is he? You know where he is? His kids have yeshiva. They have all from yeshiva. These few days, they have now a new thing. I never had this in my day, yeshiva week. And where is he? He took them skiing. He's a good father. He's a really, really good guy. And he took his kids skiing. He's a good father. That's what he's supposed to do. He took them skiing to Connecticut somewhere, who knows where. So when did Yaakov Avinu have time to take his kids, for real, skiing? When did he have time to take them to great adventures? When did he have time to go do what every father does for a child? Over Subbanim, to go to PTA, to go shopping with them, and to go and look after them? The answer Yaakov Avinu said about himself, he didn't. You know what that means? Now this is a frightening thing to say, and I don't know if it's true, but I'm not the one who says this. Yaakov Avinu didn't really raise his children. And because he didn't raise their children, his children did not look up to Yaakov as a father. The only one that he raised was Yosef.
It's true. The Malbim says, when Yehuda made his plea to Yosef, it's the beginning of the Malbim, he said it. One of his pleas was, and this is the Malbim's words, our father treated as if he only had two sons. But only those two. The Malbim says, Yehuda's plea was, he only has two, meaning Yosef and Binyamin. We didn't count.
Why? Because he was working. When he had Yosef and Binyamin, he was retired. He was on retirement. When Yosef
Yehuda was trying to make the point.
Right, exactly.
You were of no value to our father. Why should we respect for him? Why should we have anything? He treated us like we were not even his sons.
It's not that
only two were Yosef and Binyamin.
Exactly. Why? But it's not because Yaakov was home and he deliberately mistreated them. He wasn't present. He was in the field 24/7. Yaakov said this himself. When Yosef was born, he retired. The pasuk says, "Vayhi kasher yolda Yosef." He retired. Oh, he retired. So what did he do the whole day? He spent time with Yosef, the little child, and then Binyamin. He raised Yosef and Binyamin. He was home. The other kids were already big. They already passed the time of a parent raising them. So therefore, the question is still a very good question. How in the world can they go to their father and give them a garment? But the question is lightened a small degree. Because the Shiftei Kod did not have anything to do with him. They had nothing, that's what it says. Now, it's a little bit of an extreme to go this far. How could that possibly be? Yaakov Avinu, how could that possibly be? But over here, you do get a little taste of this. Over here, you read this pasuk over here, and it says, V'eish shnei vonech, all of the skeletons are coming out of the closet. The fact that the pasuk says that these were her children, and these were not Moshe's children, opens up a can of worms. Why not? Because he didn't raise them. You didn't raise them, then they're not your children. If you raise them, it doesn't even matter if they're they are your biological children. Go now look.
That's the question, Rabbi Levine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself told Moshe to separate, right?
No. How do you know that?
He said later, stand by me, right? This was
early. V'ata po amodi modi.
Okay, but he sent him to Mitzrayim. He said the two kids stayed back.
That was we learned that in Rashi yesterday. Yeah.
I know, but Moshe was a shliach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's 24/7. His job was to do.
Maybe it's not his job. Maybe that's not his job. Maybe that's not. We don't. This is all the issue. This is the question. This is the question. The question over here is. That's all part of the question. Over here, yesterday we had a very long discussion about this topic. We're going to have to go more. We discussed exactly this whole topic. Achar Shiluchecha. We had a whole long pilpul about this topic. And Yisro went and he brought them back. What was Yisro doing exactly by bringing back Tzipora and his two children? Okay, it's a big, big topic. And we just touched upon it. We discussed it a lot more yesterday. We'll leave it with that. So I'm going to just bring out, you said you hit the nail on the head when you said here, Shnei Vanel. Okay, what are the two names? Hashem Echad Ger Shoyim, Ki Amar Ger Yisi, Bi Eretz Nachuya. The first one was called Gershoim. I'm a Ger. He was in Midian. Moshe Rabbeinu escaped to Midian, and there he found Tzipora. He married her. He had a child, and he said, I'm a Ger in a strange land. Dalit, let's do another pasuk. The Shem Rechad Eliezer. The second was Eliezer. Ki Elokim Yibiyazri Vayatzim Paro. The second is Eliezer. Why? Because the God of my father was at my side, and he saved me from the sword of Paro. It is interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu is calling the God of my father. Who is his father? Who is his father? Amram, right? Is that not the Pshat Amram? Or is Avi here referred to, it's a like a collective noun? Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? What does it mean over here, Lekelvi Biazri? Amram is not, you know, we don't very much relate to, Amram is a very famous person, of course, but Amram is not a central figure in Klal Yisrael. When you have the Ushpizin, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David, okay, when you want to go, we make a Mishbech for the Choylem. Mishbech Avaseinu, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Ushloimo. All of a sudden, Shlomo HaMelech becomes a big figure. We take out Yosef, we bring in Shlomo. What happened to Amram? Why isn't Amram part of the Shalshelis HaYuchsin of Klal Yisrael? I don't know. It's an interesting topic. Why is it even so? You're like, you know, you can't include everyone. You know, you have to know where to, you have to know your, you know, where to start, where to end. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu, he says himself, Ki Elokei Avi Biezri. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is saying Avi, my father, doesn't that give Amram, you know, an extra dosage of Yichus? Maybe Amram should be from the seven Ushpizin on Sukkis instead of Yosef. Maybe Amram should be in the Mishaberach we make for a Choyle, or we say Yiskar Kimes Nishma so and so. They should be in Nishma's Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rivka. We go through the Ovos, the Mos. What happened to Amram? Okay, I don't know. We have to see what the word Avi means. And he saved me by Yatzlim, he saved from the sword of Paro. Let's see Rashi. There's a lot of Midrashim. Let's just try to focus on Rashi and Targum, the limited time that we have. Okay, so let's go back down over here to Pasuk, the Pasuk, Gimel and Dal and Rashi. Rashi, Dal, the Pasuk, Dal, it says, Vayatzin, Rashi does not make any comment on Gershom. He only talks about Eliezer. Kelekevi Biezri, Eliezer is Ezer. Hashem was my help. Gershom is, I was a stranger. Ger. What's the Shom? I don't know. But what's the Eliezer? Kel Ezer. Eliezer, let's look at the word. The word Eliezer is Aleph Lamed, that means Kel, was an Ezer. What's the Yud? Kaili, Lama Azavtani. Esther Hamalka, she said to Hashem right before she came in, when she came to Achashverosh, and she was Tatilmash Esther Malchus, and she was Neslavish, she was dressed in the divine presence. And as she came close to the palace, the Ruach HaKodesh departed from her. And what did she do? She cried to Hashem, Keili, Keili, my God, Lama Azavtani, why have you abandoned me? So we find the word.
Shimshon said this also?
What?
Supposedly Shimshon was, when he was.
He said Keili, Keili? Could be, I don't know.
One of the brachas going back to Varchi, Rashi brings it down. Lishu
Ascha Kivisi Hashem. That was Shimshon. That's in the brachas of Yaakov. Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem. I don't know. Okay, but the word Keli, it says to go here, Eliezer is Aleph Lamed Yud Ayin Zayin Resh. And why he explains, Ki Elokei Avi Biezri. So that means Keli. I'm assuming that the Yud is part, oh, no, by the way, you know, we have in the Gemara, we have Rebbe Elozar, and Rabbi Eliezer, right? The Tana, Rabbi Eliezer is a Tana. And then we have, I think we have a few Elozars. There are a few people from the Amoroyim who are called Elozar. They are from a later generation, late generations, Elozar. But sometimes, it's a big topic of discussion, sometimes some depends on the Sugya, some want to say that Elozar is also a Tana. And sometimes, I don't know if this is a Hasidic of art. We know that Rashbi, Rabban Shimon Bar Yochai, he had a son. What was the son's name? Eliezer. Or was his name Elozar? So it seems that there are conflicting Mamari Chazal Some of them refer to the son of Rebbe, of Rashbi, as Eliezer, and some say he is Elozar, and some want to answer that he had a name change. Originally, he was Elozar, but before he went into the cave with his father for 13 years, after they came out of the cave of 13 years, they were Moisef, a letter on his name, he became Eliezer. So, in order to differentiate between who this person before the experience of being locked up in quarantine for 13 years, he was Elozar, and after he came out, he was Eliezer. But one thing you do see from this is that there's a relationship between these, the Yud, whether the Yud goes there or not, what is it all about, I do not know. If it would say Elozar without the Yud, you would say Kel Ezer, God who is a help. If you say the Yud, it's Keli, my God, similar to what Esther said, Keli, Keli, Lama, Azavtani. All right, in any event, back to the Rashi. Rashi says, Kishegilu Dosan Va'aviram. Oh, these guys, they always make an honorable appearance. These two fellows, you know, they're always showing up. They're always showing up in the wrong places. You know what it's like? I always like to joke around. You learn Mishnayos, you learn about the sheretz. A dead sheretz. A dead sheretz is an av hatoma. So I always joke around with my chavur. Says, how come this dead sheretz, it has more than 9 lives? Last Mishnah, the dead sheretz, the sheretz died. And it was Matama the Kalim. So it's dead. How come this Mishnah, here it is, Hineni, it appears all over again and it dies again. And the next Mishnah, it dies again. This sheretz has so many lives. 9, like a cat, 9 lives, a lot more than 9 lives. It keeps on reappearing, the same sheretz. So there's a joke. But same thing about Dasan Va'aviram. Dasan Va'aviram, they always are coming to make an appearance. Always have to show up in the wrong place, the wrong time. Here we go, Dasan Va'aviram, what does it say about them? Yishagilu Dasan Va'aviram al Divrei HaMitzri. Moshe saw 2 Ivrim Anoshim Nitzim, who was fighting Dasan Va'aviram. They were punching each other out. And Moshe said to one of them, Rasha, Lama Sakereyecha. And they said, Moshe, Who made you our boss? You're gonna kill me the same way you killed the Mitzri yesterday? Moshe says, how do you know that? I look, Vayifin Koy V'choy V'yar Ki Ein Ish. How were you able to see what happened yesterday? Moshe Rabbeinu Vayifin Koy V'choy, Moshe had X-ray vision. How were you able to see that I killed the Mitzri? Those of you were not simple people. They were able to outsmart Moshe Rabbeinu. Not at all simple. They outsmarted him then. And here so here it says Nachamol. It says so. We go back to that story. Kishagil dosim avir al dvar mitzri ubikesh argus Moshe naset savaroi keamud shel shayosh, like a column of marble. And what does this mean over here? It means the Medrash Rabba. This means there was a miracle. That I don't remember the whole version of the story, but it goes something like Paro. Paro called the executioner, they had a trial, and he was convicted. First, Moshe was impeached, and then they had the trial, and the Senate voted him guilty. And then they called out the executioner, and they stood up Moshe, and they tied him to a pillar of Shayosh. And the executioner took out the sword to decapitate Moshe. And as he took out the sword, the blade fell off the handle, and slipped and decapitated the executioner. And the people were shocked. They were utterly shocked what happened. And what did they do? There was chaos. They stormed the capital, and Moshe Rabbeinu was freed. He fled. He fled to Midian. That's what it says over here. So therefore, that's what we are referring to when it says, Vayatzileni mecherev Paro, the sword of Paro. That's interesting, it calls this sword the sword of Paro. Wasn't it the sword of the state? It was the sword of the country, Egypt. Egypt is a state and they have a system of laws and there's an executioner. What does it mean? They use Paro's actual sword? There must be a lot of depth in why we're calling this sword the sword of Paro according to Rashi. Let's look at the Targum Nistub Sukkim. Targum says, here. Dayar of the Pasuk Gimel. Now, we didn't even explain the name of Gershon. I don't know what the name means. Gershon is a Ger.
Gershom.
Oh, that's what Shom means, there. Yeah. There's no Vav. I didn't even realize there's no Vav.
Yeah, but there's a lot of names like that. I
mean, he was so a Ger.
How do you get Moshe Kimin Amayim?
Kimin Amayim, Kimin the Pasuk says. Okay, that's Moshe. Okay, then there's a Rashi.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense either.
Right, but there's a long Rashi. Rashi has a whole analysis. There are two Mahalchim, what it means. Kimin Amayim, Rashi has two different Mahalchim, what it means. Kimin Amayim, how you jump from Kimin Amayim Mishisiu to Moshe. I mean, you spoke about this. They have all different names in Egypt, the whole story. What does the word Moshe mean?
Okay, but also, the Avraham El says Vayatzlein Mekarim Paro means, because of that, he doesn't like that medrash, and so he says that it means very simple, that all the times I went before Paro to say, let my people go, he could have killed me, and God saved me. God saved me from all the times
that I was going before Paro. Right, that's an upshot. Right. Yeah. Ayin Panim Matoy, right. We're just looking over here what it says on Rashi. Rashi is referring back to this specific Medrash. He quotes the Medrash Rabbah, and he brings into the picture Dosan Va'aviram. Dosan Va'aviram is built into the name of Eliezer. That is very interesting. Every time Eliezer was called Eliezer, it conjures up in the mind Dosan Va'aviram. According to the Abarbanel, it doesn't. According to the Abarbanel, that's nothing. Nothing to do with Dosan Va'aviran. Eliezer carries...
Well, that's why I told you, Yifen Kovacho, what my tithe was, that he looked around and nobody came to help the other fellow Jew, and that's why Moshe killed the Mitzri. He didn't want to see if anybody's done. By Yifen Kovacho, nobody came to help the Jew. He was Mitzri was fighting him, and he didn't help him.
Nothing has changed in 3,000 years. Yeah, nothing has changed in 2000 years, exactly.
Right, that's what I said.
Yeah, you know, that's a very powerful verse.
That's it. That's what it means. It didn't mean that he looked around to see that nobody was there. There were people around, but he wanted to see if another Jew would help.
Okay, I am part of Mutara, but over here with Dosan Vavir, according to Rashi, we're discussing the story of Dosan Vavir and the Cherub Paro. Let's see the Targum. The Targum, Pasik, Targum, Pasik, Gimel. V'yas train b'naho, his two sons. D'shoim, shoim means the name. Chad Gershoim. Notice that the Targum, he adds a Vav, that's not a Kasha. Why does the Targum add a Vav? Because probably, this is something you have to really ask. Did the Targum, when it was written, have dats? Mestaver not. There were probably no nekudos. And when you don't have nekudos, the way you indicate that it is a cholam, not a komatz, is you add a vav. Okay, so it's interesting because the fact, see, today we look at Targum, of course it has dots. If there wouldn't be dots, we'd break our teeth. But you have to appreciate that in the Targum, there are certain letters that are only added into Hebrew and Aramaic in place of nekudos. And when you have nekudos, you don't need to have so many letters. Like a lot of times they have a double yud. A double yud is only there, oiraisa. If you don't, in the Gemara, the word oiraisa means the Torah. And there are two yuds. Why there are two yuds? The second yud is teaching you that the first yud is a very funny convention. It's not really very, the second yud is only there to indicate that the first yud is a shva. Oi rai. The yud is not, don't say orai yisa. Don't make the yud into a syllable in and of itself. It's just a shva noch. So how do you indicate that the yud is a shva noch? And it's not orai yisa. You add a second yud. But if you have dats, if you have the hechsher of the badats, you think the badatz only gives hechsher on food? The badatz gives hechsher on the siddur also. The dats, Department of Transportation, DOT, the dats, a lot of meanings for the dats. Just joking around. But the dats, once you have the dats, and you don't need the second yud. And that is why in our sidurim, in the Brich Shmei, where it says the word oiraisa, there's only one yud. Why? Because we have in our sidurim dats. Okay, but the Targum, they didn't do the Targum. It's very, this is interesting because it's important, this point, because sometimes the way you pronounce a word in Targum can have an entirely different meaning. Now, we have to go find examples of that, but that's something to keep in mind. And generally, it seems that that when it comes to the Targum, no one played around. No one deleted letters in the Targum just because today, in the modern world, we add dots into the Targum. And it's important because here we have in the Torah, Gershoim is spelled without Vav. Gershoim. There's a little line over here, a meseg, which means that it's a tefillah gedolah, it's even a dot, and that makes the resh into a shono. Gershoim. On Shabbos, the Balkriya is supposed to say the name Gershoim. Not Gershoim, that's wrong. It's gay reshoim. It's a shvanoch. I mean, it's a milra. The emphasis is on the shin, but the resh is a shvana. Gay reshoim. And there's no vav here. And in the Targum, there is a vav. And they didn't. In the people who wrote the Targum, even though the original Targum did not have dots, they did not take out the vav, even though they put dots in the Targum as well. Let's go further. V'shoim's name, V'yostrein b'nai, V'shoim chad gershoim, Arei, Omar, Dayor. That's the key word we need. A Dayor is a stranger, a ger. Havesi, I was, Be'ara, the land of Nuchro'o, of a Nochri, of a strange land. Be'eretz, Nochriya. We spoke about this on Friday, 2 weeks ago, about a Nochri. There's a nochri, there's something called a stranger in a land that was foreign to me. I was an alien in this country. He didn't go to America, because in America, nobody is called a nochri. See that? This you see over here, that Moshe, Midian, the whole Shiloh, where did Moshe go? He didn't go to America, because in America, after Biden became president of the United States and signed an executive order, no one in this country is allowed to be called an alien. There are citizens, and there are non-citizens, but there's no such thing as a Nochri. Here in Midian, there was something called a Nochri, a land Nochriya that was a Nochri to me at least. Dalid, the next pasuk is V'shoim Chad Eliezer, Arei, because Elokei Da'aba, the God of my father, Havo B'Sahadi, was at my side, my help, V'shei Zivani, he saved me. Mecharba de Faro. I really willing to bet that this word is probably the most popular word in the Targum. This word is always appearing in the strangest places. V'shei Zivani means to save. Hatzola. Hatzola is V'shei Zivani. These letters Shin Zayin Beis. Hashem save me. Mecharba de Faro. Now let's see what he writes over here on the side over here. He writes over here a dayor. A dayor is a ger, misgoyer. Kabbalas emunas Yisrael mitargim loshen giyura. Okay, it means a stranger. Okay, so he's not really saying very much. Havo hoysofa aloshen akasof lefarish beezri shakavona al haovar. Okay, he goes into the past, the future. We don't do this. We would shy away from talking about the past and the future here. We just keep giving one sec. This thing's in my way on the screen. I can't see what I'm doing here. Okay, now much better. Next. Bisadi, Hashem was at my help. Oh no, it's not going to have to wait 1 second. It's also no good. All right, now it's better. Bisadi, Hashem was at my aid. What is this? What does it mean that Hashem was at my aid? Bisadi. Be'ezri, B'loshon HaKosa, Perusha, Shere, Nezar, Misayeli, Atzmai, Ela, Shetzach, Tosefes, Tmicha, Me'atzat. Okay, he's saying something very, 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 very interesting. There's something called Melech, Oizer, Umoshia, Umagin. Everything in the Shemon Esrei. We say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem is an oizer, he's a Moshiach and a Magen. What is the difference between an oizer and a Moshiach? The answer is, an oizer, in English we have the expression, God helps those who help themselves. That's what it means, an oizer. Umoshiach means you're helpless. You can't do anything, you're like a baby. You need someone to pick you up and do everything for you. Big difference between these two words. Thus, when it says Hashem was my Ezer, it means I was helping myself. And Hashem came to just, you know, give me a boost. I was anyway ishtadlus. Support, betargum, einen loshen Yeshua klolis. It doesn't mean a salvation, a total salvation. Ela perushay mishenes, a support. I can get by, but if you'll help me, it'll make it a lot easier. Now, if we read between the lines, it would appear that Rashi is coming to thoroughly disagree with what the Targum said. Our principle here in this year is Rashi is writing a Perush. This is a commentary on the Targum in disguise. They don't teach this to us in kindergarten. They teach us there in kindergarten that Rashi is an independent sefer. Rashi just, whatever he wanted to say, he said he's not responding. This is not a super commentary. Rashi is a commentary. He's not coming to comment on another commentary. No, so we here, this year, our goal is to show that Rashi is a super commentary. He's just responding to the Targum. Every single thing he says, he's targeting the Targum. You know, okay, fine. Why am I saying that? Because look what Rashi does. Rashi knows we have two psukim, Dal, Gimel, and Dal. Rashi could have brought down here an enormous amount of material. There is no shortage of Midrashim, Mamori Chazal, that Rashi could have drawn from and put on the page. And Pasuk Gimel, Rashi says nothing. Pasuk Dalit, there's a ton of stuff here. No, he only wants to comment on one thing only, the sword of Paro. And what does Rashi say? Kishagilu dosim vavidam al devar mitzri ubi kishagis Moshe naset savori ke'amud shel shayosh. Now let me ask you, was Moshe able to do anything to help himself at this point in time? When Moshe Rabbeinu, when dosim vavidam told Paro that there was a murder and the one that killed him was Moshe, and they pulled out the videotape from the security cameras, and they saw Moshe kill the Mitzri in cold blood, and Moshe was arrested, and Moshe was prosecuted, and they put Moshe on the they tied him up against the Omer Shel Shayosh and were about to execute him. Is there anything that Moshe could have done at this moment in time to help himself? Nothing. He was arrested. He was in solitary confinement. He was chained down. Every step of the way, he was guarded with the strongest, most mighty guards of Egypt. The best lawyers. Even he couldn't help Moshe Rabbeinu. No one can help him. So when Moshe was saved, if you ask a child, you tell a child there are two words in the Torah. There's a word called, there's Oizer and there's Moshiach. Let's make believe for the moment. The only translation of the difference between these two words is, as we explained, Melech Oizer Umoshia. Oizer means God helps those who help themselves. Umoshia, God helps those who don't know how to help themselves. Hashem takes the initiative. And you say to a child, you tell him the story about Paro, about what happened with Dosan Vaviram, and Moshe was chained. And you ask the child, so tell me, when this miracle happened, and the executioner took out a sword to kill Moshe, and a miracle happened, and Moshe didn't die, and the executioner got killed, does that fall in the category of Oizer or in the category of Moshiach? And the child will tell you, Moshiach. At this point in time, Moshe is helpless. Oizer means you work. Person needs parnasa, right? You need a parnasa. What do you do? So there are two ways to get. There are two ways to get make parnasa. Either, not two. Only one way to make a parnasa. You go to work. You go to work and you work very hard. You work very hard. And when Hashem sees that you're working very hard, Hashem helps you out. He has siyata d'shmaya, you get a promotion, get a bonus, things go your way, and you walk away at the end of the day with more money than you expected, You get a promotion, you get a vacation, you get this, you get that, and things go your way. Because you did your shtadlus. Even if Hashem would not come in and give you all the bonuses, so no, you'll have something, you'll have something to support your family. That's called an oizer. What's the Moshiach? A guy says, I'm not going to work. I'm doing nothing. How you can make money? I don't know. The mon fell for the Jews for 40 years, so the mon will fall for me. So if a miracle happens, a miracle of miracle happens, that out of the blue, mon comes down from Shemayim, and there he has what to eat. Is that called an oizer, or is that called a Moshiach? That's called a Moshiach. That's not called an oizer. In this situation, Moshe Rabbeinu, is he called an oizer, or is he called a Moshiach? When the salvation was Moshiach. So it would appear that Rashi saw what the Targum said in Pasuk Dalet. Targum says, "K'shem Echad Eliezer, ki Elokei Avi bi Ezri, vayatzel mecher paro." And the Targum said the word Sahad. The Targum saw the word Elokei Avi bi Ezri. Hashem was at my assistance. Targum, go back to the Targum, Pasuk Dalet. Arei Elokei de Abba Hava. Besa'adi. Ooh, you know what the word sa'adi means? The word sa'adi means a support. I'm doing my hishtaglus. And Hashem is just gonna, you know, I have... supporting me. Sa'adi is support. I have the best lawyer. I have the best everything. But you know, you need mazel also. That the jurors shouldn't be mishugoyim. The jurors should be normal people that can absorb the evidence and can be honest. You need siyata d'shmaya. So I was doing my part, and Hashem helped me out. Hashem, he did his part. Wait a minute. So Rashi saw this word, and Rashi says, no way. That's not what it means. I disagree. I thoroughly disagree. That's not what it means here. It cannot, we're not, this is the wrong word. Because over here it means that Hashem did everything. Moshe sat back and did nothing. It was Hashem was like the Moshiach. In other words, this translation that I made up for you, Melech Oizer Moshiach Mogein, is a very nice translation according to Unkelus. But Rashi disagrees. That's not what the two words, it's not the difference. There are other Perushim. There are many Perushim to explain the difference between the word Oizer and Moshiach. There are many mahalchim to differentiate between, but what we just learned until now, that oizer means that you do yours and Hashem will help you. The Targum is clearly saying that because the Targum used the word besadi. Radzi garol, it's not true, that's not correct. Moshe, when he was referring to, when he named his son Eliezer, it's in reference to an event that Moshe did absolutely nothing. Hashem intervened and saved him. And what are we referring to? The story of Dasan v'Aviran. When Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't stand a chance. There was nothing. The moment that it was reported what Moshe did, he was arrested, he was interrogated, he was put on trial, and he was sent off for execution, and there was absolutely nothing Moshe could have done to change the outcome. There is no hishtadlus here that could have been done. And the entire salvation was purely an act of Hashem. So therefore, this word is not correct. And that's exactly what Rashi is coming to comment on. Rashi saw this world like a laser vision. He saw, what? Besahadi? And look how delicate Rashi is in rejecting that word. It's not what it means. Because Rashi's perush does not allow the word sahad to enter into the equation. Sahad means you do yours, Hashem does his. There was nothing for Moshe Rabbeinu to do over here in this instance. Okay, let's finish up. Okay, Lekevi Be'ezri, what else do we have over here? Besadi, we did that. And that's it. Pasuk Hey is, what would be Pasuk Hey? No, that's the next section. All right, so hopefully we learned something here tonight. Not that much, but at least a little bit. Thank you very much for joining me. Have a wonderful evening, Rabbi Isai. Mir Tashem, we'll see you tomorrow. Mr. Rappaport, good to see you. Thank you for coming.
Welcome.
It's always nice to see everyone over here. Okay, Zai, Rabbi Leza. Have a good night, Rabbi Leza. Sei gesund. Sei gesund. Norman Forrest, welcome. See, you don't. You see, we have here 2 feet of snow. I don't know, 2 feet close to it, and it's really miserable outside. The street corners are impossible. impossible to cross the street corners. Some people shoveled, some didn't. But no one shoveled the corner of every single block. And boy, I already stepped into two massive puddles.
You should get my boots. I have a knee high.
I have the best stuff. You know who got me this stuff? I spent a lot of money over the years on boots, $100 boots, $80 boots. And Michal Miller showed me what he has. He showed me for $15. They basically, you know my Shana coat? You know what a Shana coat is? It's basically a garbage bag, right? A Shana coat is basically a garbage bag that you put around over your coat. I love that, right? So he showed me, he bought on Amazon for $15, basically the equivalent of a Shana coat for your shoes. And you know something? It's amazing. They're amazing. Because when I wear the boots, you know, they're heavy, they cut into your skin, even though you think they're very comfortable. This is amazing. You put these things on, and you're done. Nothing leaks. You can get different size. I made him say I only got like until a little bit.
How high does it go?
Not high enough. They have all different sizes. You get one that go up very high, almost up to your knee. And then
I have these construction plastic boots. I have a pair of slippers in it. Put it on. It goes up.
Okay, those are boots, right? Those are boots. I have a whole collection of boots, but this is like I call this like a Shana coat for your shoes. And you know something? Michal Mill, he showed me. It's unbelievable. It's really, and the reviews.
I'm wearing it now?
Yeah. And the reviews on Amazon are like off the charts. Here, I'll show you. You want to see my Shana boots? Let's see if I can put the camera on it.
Take off your shoes.
Do you see it?
No.
Yeah, I'll take it off. Let me turn off the chumash, not the covering in front of the chumash. One second.